Father, I ask you right now to use my tongue as a pen of a ready writer to speak the things concerning your kingdom, Father. Father, we command that this atmosphere, Father, be clear and free, Father, for you to speak to your children, Father. Impart wisdom, impart revelation, impart understanding, Father, that your will be done, Father, in earth as it is in heaven, Father. And we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're going to continue along the lines of the series that Dr. Hardy started last month. If you're not familiar with how we do things, every month we do a different series. And then every 3 months we walk into a different pillar. We're now in our kingdom pillar, and in our kingdom pillar, we're talking from the subject of metrons and the fivefold. You can turn that down, way down, the music. That's good right there. We're talking from metrons and the fivefold, and this is just a continuation. Dr. Hardy still has to unpack the teacher and the evangelist. Have you guys been enjoying that series? Hallelujah. Now, this is a must, okay? This is a must that we understand how the church functions, okay? We are in the apostolic age, okay? We are in the apostolic age. What that means is that the Father has called apostles to set the restructure the foundation. We got off. Okay, we made it about everything but his will. Okay, and the proof of that is we started to build deliverance ministries. We started to build healing ministries. Okay, we started to build ministry for the purpose of prosperity. All right, we started to exalt certain offices over certain offices. Okay, right now we have churches. And probably about, and y'all can correct me if you want, probably about 95% of the churches don't have apostles. Okay? Most of them just have pastors and evangelists. They even kicking the prophets out. Okay? And the reason why is because every office has a different lens. Every office has a different lens. I was telling them on Thursday that even when we're talking about deliverance, all right, deliverance is different to the evangelist than it is to the pastor, than it is to the prophet, than it is to the teacher, than it is to the apostle. It's different, okay? For the evangelist, because they do most of their work in the streets and people coming into the church, deliverance is casting a demon out. Okay, but to the pastor, that person is not delivered until they get their life, until their life is being shepherded. All right, to the teacher, deliverance hasn't happened until they have the mind of Christ. To the prophet, deliverance hasn't happened until they can see, hear, and interpret. And then to the apostle, you're not delivered until you got the life of Christ. We can cast 30 demons out of you, but if you don't think like Christ, then the process hasn't. So the demon coming out is the start. That's the beginning. Okay? Baptism is the entrance into kindergarten. Being saved is the entrance into kindergarten. Okay? Now you need to go through the pastor, the teacher, the prophet, and the evangelist to build you up so that we can do kingdom work. Say amen. Amen. Okay. And so the end game is what? Dominion. The end game is dominion. That's kingdom work. Okay. The end game is dominion. The end game is not you get a good job. Sorry. The end game is not increasing your finances. Huh? The increase is not when your life, the end game is not when your life is good. Now that your life is good, what's the point of church? I got what I wanted. Okay? And so that's not the end game. The end game is dominion. As a body of Christ, we have to dominate the planet. And we talking about end time and Jesus coming back. We don't want him to come back. Okay, the church don't want him to come back, let alone the sin. The church does not want Jesus to come back. Miles Monroe said something that was very profound. He said, Jesus is not looking for a bride that's still in the training bra. He don't want to marry a baby. Okay, he wants a full, mature church. So we come to church to be developed into sons and daughters who can rock the planet, who can take over the planet. And so the apostolic age is bringing that back around. And so on today, our teaching, if I had to give a title to it, would be called The Government, The Kingdom, and Metrons. Okay, The Government, Kingdom, and Metrons. Now, Metrons is the measure of something that is giving for the purpose of kingdom work. Now, it's a more extensive definition to that, and if you've been listening to the last three series, you know it. If not, go back and listen. Amen. So on today, our objective is to explain the kingdom and the government, to explain the difference between the gifts of Christ and the gifts of the Spirit, and to explain unity on those fronts. Okay, because after we have the titles and after we're doing our work in the seven mountains, the thing that the church is lacking is unity. It's unity. We have 40,000 denominations. You can't tell me the church ain't schizophrenic. We got 40,000 different denominations. The Bible says we have one spirit. So one spirit speaking from heaven, we got 40,000 denominations. How is that? Somebody wrong. Or better yet, let me say this. Somebody right and everybody else wrong. Somebody's right. One out of 40,000, 39,999 are wrong. Okay? And so we're going to start off by just talking about the kingdom, and then we'll get into government. So the kingdom of God is the realm. The kingdom of God is the realm where Abba's voice rules. Okay, it is the realm where our Father's voice, his ways, and his intentions rule. Jesus told us when we pray that his will be done. Pray that his kingdom would come. All right, so even when we're talking about the Holy Spirit is simply the voice of our Father. That's what it was in the Old Testament. It was the Ruach of God. It's his breath. All right, and so we've gotten into the thing where some of us hear the Holy Spirit. Some of us hear the Lord. Some of us hear the Father. It's one voice. It's all one voice. Okay, and we have to bring it back to that place. Now, the kingdom of God is the spirit realm, and it is the assignment from heaven into earth given to the church. Let me say that again. The kingdom of God is the spirit realm, or the realm of the spirit, and the assignment from heaven into earth given to the church. His kingdom come, his will be done, meaning his intentions. He wants his purpose. He wants his name to be made holy. And so the church needs to be developed for that. So this is what we're developing the church for that purpose. And the kingdom of God, for us as children of God, it is where we live, it is where we grow, and it is where we become. Now, in Matthew, the book of Matthew alone, there are 12 parables that are speaking about the kingdom in which Jesus are using these to bring clarity to that realm. He keeps letting us know the kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like that. What is he doing? He is trying to give us clarity. He is trying to reveal that realm to us because this is the realm that we are supposed to live from. And so the kingdom of God is for the children of God. Say that. The kingdom of God is for the children of God. So Jesus arrives on a planet and he says, seek first the kingdom of God. So he's telling us to seek first that realm. He said, you've been living in a natural realm your whole life, and now you can repent, meaning you can change your mind. You can think differently. You don't have to think according to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribe. You don't have to think according to Herod. Your mindset can change. You don't have to think according to the political agenda, according to society, what's politically correct. You don't have to think. There's another thought process. There's another realm of influence where your Father's voice is there. And he said, seek that first. Why? Because that is what his children do. Children seek first what? Their father's voice. Then we're born again into the kingdom. Jesus tells Nicodemus that if you are not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. So the purpose of birth is so we can see in that realm. Walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is in that realm. Faith is not in this realm. So while you're waiting for it to happen and you see it, you're not walking in faith. Faith starts with trust in knowing what he said, it shall come to pass. I don't see it. That's okay. I don't have to see it. If he said it, I know that it's going to happen. Y'all be drinking protein shakes. You ain't seen no protein. You're just doing it by faith. Come on, you ain't seen, how many of y'all seen protein? How many of y'all seen vitamin C? You done bought all them gummies. Got a belly full of gummies talking about vitamin D, A, and K. You don't know what's in that, but you take it by faith. You just take it because it said it's in it. Why you can't take his word like that? Okay? So the kingdom of God is for the children. That's why he said to seek it first. This is why he said that when we're born again, we will see. And he said, if you're born of the water and the spirit, you enter it. Then he lets us know that the kingdom of God is in you. He said, you will never look around and say, that's the kingdom right there. So if you've seen a bum, okay, couldn't find another word. Okay, for it. If you seen a bum and you seen a man in a tuxedo, you would look at the man in the tuxedo and be like, that's kingdom. You'd be like, no, that could be the devil. And the bum could have the kingdom in him. But we're looking at their attire, and the attire is telling us. We're letting what a person has tell us if God has used them or not. He said, you will not look here and there and say, that's the kingdom. He said, the kingdom is within you. Then Jesus let us know, he said that it pleased the Father to give you the kingdom. He said, it pleased the Father to give you the kingdom, watch this, which was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. So this is Jesus letting us know that he said it pleased your Father. He didn't say it pleased my Father. It pleased your Father to give you the kingdom that he prepared for you before the foundation of the world. So the Father prepared the kingdom, which means he always wanted you to have it. Which means that's a perfect explanation of what Adam lost. Adam lost the kingdom. When he got kicked out of Eden and that angel was sitting there with that sword, he was letting them know, you cannot come back into my presence this way. So now that we are born again, you have to understand that it pleased the Father to give you he always wanted you to have it. You don't have to wrestle for it. He wants you to have it. Amen. Then he turns around and said, the greatest in the kingdom is a child. So your Father gave you the kingdom. He says the only way you can access it is become a child. Then with Jesus talking about John, he said that John is the greatest of all born of women, but he's the least in the kingdom. So which means now he separated us from Old Testament, New Testament. He said, there's nobody in the Old Testament greater than y'all. You can add them all up, and now you can add them all up, and they don't equal one of us. Yep, you can take Moses, you can take Abraham, you can take Isaac, you can take Jacob, you can take Elijah, you can take Elisha, you can take Ezekiel, you can take Amos, you can take them all, and you can add them all up, and they won't equal one of us. Then he said, when he taught him to pray, he said, your kingdom come and your will be done. So the Father is adamant about what? Us having a kingdom. Us living from that realm. Okay? But in order for us to live from that realm, access that realm, and continually live from it, there has to be a government, because kingdoms have governments. Kingdoms have governments. Okay? And so a government is a governing body that is over a nation. Now, the purpose of the governing body is to develop. So, a government is a governing body that governs over a nation. The Bible says we are a holy nation. So, if we are a holy nation, we need a government. Okay? And the church is that holy nation. The church is the nation that he wants to be holy. Now, the government is actually it is a governing system, meaning it has logistics. It has ways in which it works. And so the governing body that the Father has assigned to the church, I got scriptures, I'm going to say it, but then I'm going to show it to you, is the fivefold ministry. It is the fivefold ministry. Okay, that is the governing body. This is who he gave to govern the church. And when I say govern, I don't mean rule your life. Okay? I don't mean rule your life. I'm talking about kingdom business. Okay, I'm talking about when it's time to do kingdom business, there has to be a government. Now, we're not talking about, I'm not the preacher that, I don't care what you got going on at home. I'm not in your business. When I get done with this, I'm going home, spend time with my wife, spend time with my kids, and watch some football. Okay? I'm trying to handle my affairs, handle my business. So after we leave from here, I'm not in your business. I'm not checking your Instagram. I'm not. You have the Spirit to do that. You got a Father in heaven to do that. Okay? But the fivefold ministry is the government. All right? The apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the evangelist, and the teacher. Now, also, we have other offices in there, but we'll talk about that later. The watchmen, the intercessor, bishops, deacons, and even elders. Okay? But all of them are here to do what? Help the kingdom go to the next level. Take the church to the next level where we are dominating. All right? Now, the fivefold is our governing offices, which means that they are here to administer the kingdom. Now, remember this, the office, any political office, is always about the people. All right? If you have a mayor, mayors get elected for the purpose of the people and the purpose of making the area in which they govern over better. So if you are in an office, your job is to develop. Our job is to empower. Our job is to increase you, and our job is to cultivate you. Now, this governing body is not a democracy. It's not a democracy, meaning you can't vote. You can't vote on the prophet you want to hear. You can't vote on the pastor. You can't vote on the apostle. You can't vote on, you don't have a say in that. Matter of fact, no one has a say in that but heaven. He appoints who he appoints. You don't have to like him, but you have to honor and you have to respect. And this must be done for the sake of the kingdom. So this is not a democracy. The assignment is not from people. Nobody voted me in. Nobody said, okay, we'll let you be the apostle. And I say, I'm so grateful that y'all voted for me and that, you know, that you guys entrusted me with your life. No. He calls. He chooses. And we submit. I know that's a cuss word in the church. We submit. Now, the keys of the kingdom, which the authority he has given us, is to build the church. The keys of the kingdom is not to build your life. So the moment you try to take the authority of God and use it for your life instead of for the kingdom, you lose it. The moment you try to take the power of God and use it for your life instead of the kingdom, you lose it. The reason why is because anointing that is not kingdom focused is always lost. Anointings come with ordinations, which means he smears the oil on you and he goes to tell you what to do with it. Jesus breathed on the apostles and he said, now go to Jerusalem and wait till you be endued with the power from on high. Had they went to another direction and did another thing, the Spirit doesn't come. But the oil that he put on them was for them to go to a place and to pray. So, because this is a governing body and this is the kingdom, we have to see the epistles as political documents. Okay? There are political documents. This is not something coming from Paul. This is coming from heaven through Paul. Okay? And so let's get into our first set of scriptures. We're going to start in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 16, I think. And it reads, it says, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. He said, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Now, these are instructions from heaven. Paul is just speaking. He's telling us what the Father expects in ministry. He's telling us what the Father expects in the church. And the church is what? The body of Christ. The body of Christ is the family of God. So he's given instructions on how we are to live and how we are to function in the kingdom. Verse 3 says, being diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit. So he says, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. He says, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. Where my sons and daughters at? Come on, raise your hand, my sons and daughters of God. He said, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. That is the calling. The calling is to be God's children. The first call you receive is into the family. It's not into an office. The second call you receive is into servitude. Then you might get a call for ministry. Depending where he wants to put you, whether it's in the church or in another part of the seven mountains. That you have to be accurate of, because you can be putting your voice somewhere that it does not belong. You're supposed to be in arts and entertainment, and you're trying to tell the pastor what to do. You're supposed to be in educational institutions, but you're trying to tell the prophet how to prophesy. Well, the Lord showed me to go your butt to the school. That's what he showed you. He says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, being diligent to keep, here we go, the unity of the Spirit, not of the spirits, the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Verse 4, He says there is one body, say one. He says in one spirit, say one. He said just as you have been called, you were called in one hope of your calling, say one. Verse 5 says one Lord, say one. One faith, say it. One baptism, say it. Verse 6, it says, one God, say one. He says, one God and Father who is over all. Come on. He says, one God and Father who is over all. And through all, come on. And in all. Verse 7. He says, but to each one, say one, each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now, the measure of Christ's gift is him taking his gift and breaking it off into five pieces and making it the government of God. So he says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Verse 8 says, therefore, it is says, when he ascends on high, he led captive the captives, and he gave gifts to people. Verse 9 says, now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean? Except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth. So he's letting us know that we have, that because he, let me keep going. I'm going to come back for that. Okay. Verse 10, it says, he who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all heavens so that he might fill all things. Now let me unpack that. So verse 9, he says, now this expression, he ascends, what does it mean? Except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth. So what that is letting us know is that the spirit that we are born again with, okay, that it has dominated every level already. Christ in you is the hope of glory. This, when Jesus was on the cross, Christ, his spirit, left his body, went down into heaven, and took the keys to hell, death, and the grave. So he descended in the lower parts. Then what he did in his earthly ministry. Now, you need to know and understand that because when you receive that spirit, all of that is already there. This informs us that the born-again spirit that he has given us is battle-tested. The fact that he descended to ascension represents resurrection. You will not stay down. You will not stay down. It's impossible for you to stay down. The spirit in you will not let you stay down. And the spirit in you, Satan is scared of. It's the same. It's not a different spirit. All of us have the same spirit. We're the body of Christ. If you're born again, we all have the same spirit. So the spirit that is in you through being born again is the spirit that Satan saw in hell. That came and took the keys and opened the gates and let the captive free. So when you get to praying and talking crazy, you don't understand that you're setting wage, you're waging war against his kingdom. The moment you decided you want to be born again, you started waging war against his kingdom. You wonder why everything going crazy, because you said you're born again, because you said you're a child of God, because you said Christ in me is the hope of glory. And the moment you did that, you waged war against another kingdom. So what did he do? He used all his resources in darkness in the natural realm to cut off your blessings, because he was blessing you. Because he was blessing you. He said, as long as you don't go to church, I'm going to give you this. And you said you're going to go to church. And so he took it back. And the father doesn't stop him because he needs you to get off of that system on his system. But Paul needed us to know that the one who ascended had already descended too. So there's dominion at every level. It says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess in heaven, on earth, and beneath it. So this is why Paul said, we labor with you until Christ is formed. When Christ is formed, you dominate on every level. You're getting answers from heaven. Hell is being tormented. And doors are opening for kingdom activity in the natural. Verse 11. Now, this coincides with verse 7. It says, verse 7 said that he gave. It says, but each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now, verse 11 says, and he gave some as apostles. What is he doing? He's breaking the grace, the gift of his gift into portions. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Verse 12, what does that say? The first three words. So he gave those five for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Verse 13, until. Now that word until is extremely powerful because that means you got to graduate. Okay, that means it's levels. We're not just doing this. Okay, we're not just equipping the saints for the work of ministry and building up the body of Christ so we can obtain faith. It's until. Because after you have been built up in the body of Christ, it ain't time. Watch this. It ain't now time to abandon the body. This is what we think it's about. Well, let me go get mine and then go do me. No. As we build up you, Zay, as a fivefold ministry builds up Zay, now Zay joins the fivefold to help build the rest of the body. So he says, until we all attain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, as a result, we are no longer to be children. That word children in the Greek is nepios, infants. He said, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of people, by the craftiness and deceitful scheming. So he's letting us know that the fivefold is necessary, or this is what happens. When you don't have the fivefold, you are a child. You remain an infant because the fivefold has to grow you up. No, I hate to tell you, if he gave government, he's not going to overlook government and come to your house and raise you. He's not going to come to your house and raise you. I hear the Lord. Yeah, I guess you do. But you got to participate with his word. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, that is Christ. Verse 16, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, unity. According to the proper working of each individual part. This is important. Come on, say, I matter. You matter. Okay, because what is poured into you, if you don't pour it back into the church, we're lacking something. He said, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Now, whether you like it or not, or see it, this is a political conversation. This is a political conversation from the government of God to the people explaining the why behind the governing body. This is a political document. Christ has divided his gifts so that the people could be built up. He has divided his gifts, and after he divided his gifts, the scripture said that he gave the five. But he gave the five to equip. He gave the five to build.
He gave the five to do this until. He gave the five to build the results. He gave the five to get us to the place where we speak truth and love. Because how many of y'all know we come to the church, we don't speak truth and love. I'm keeping it real. You're not keeping it real. You're keeping it carnal. Until we speak what? Truth in love. So he's given us the government as offices that develop and empower the family of God in the kingdom of God. And as we are being developed, the scripture says, verse 16, that we are being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. So, yes, when you miss church, it matters. Okay? Yes, when you miss prayer, it matters. Yes, when you don't give, it matters. Yes, when you don't fast, it matters. Yes, when we're in an environment and we're worshiping, it matters. On the day of Pentecost, it said they were all together. They were in one place and they were all together. And it was because they were in one place all together that they were able to bring the Spirit in. So what does this mean? That if we're all in here praying and Kirby decides he don't want to pray, that is flesh pulling us out the Spirit. This is how the fivefold ministry gets drained. Because every joint is supposed to supply. Imagine your hands stop working. Come on. Imagine your feet stop working. Imagine you lose an arm. They call it handicap. So when we don't allow the government to raise us, when we don't allow the government to pour into us, what it does is it makes us cripple. Because we are here as the fivefold ministry to give you our metron. Our metron increases your metron. And so when a fivefold ministry cannot deliver their metron, even in the seven mountains, there's no metrons working. The measure of faith is not there. The measure of power is not there. The measure of authority is not there. Why? Because we don't allow the government to do what it's supposed to do. So it says that being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. It says according to the proper working of each individual part. So every joint supplies according to every individual part. Every individual piece. And the scripture says that this is what causes the growth of the body to build up. What the rest of that say? Itself. Itself. So it is the entire joint supplying. It is the family of God, every individual part working with every metron to cause growth to build up the body all by itself. Just like you get sick. And when you get sick, there is something in your body that heals you. What'd you call it? Antibodies. There you have it. This is why Paul said that if we devour one another, it becomes an issue because now it becomes a cancer. So the gifts of Christ are the gift of government. To release metrons to the church. The gifts of Christ belong to the church. They are a gift to the family of God, which is the body of Christ. So the scriptures tell us that the fivefold ministry is a gift to the church. All right? The fivefold ministry is what? It is a gift to the church. Meaning, you don't have to pay us money. There's no part of our Metron that says you have to give money to get it. We are a gift to the church. I don't care what anybody tell you. If you give me this amount, you get this. No, you are a gift. You are not wholesale. You are not retail. You are a gift. The pastor is a gift. The prophet is a gift. The apostle is a gift. The evangelist is a gift. The teacher is a gift, meaning every measure that the Father puts in us belongs to y'all. Now you just got to show up to get your gift. So you don't have to pay money for the Metrons, but there is ways of accessing more of it. And one way of accessing more of the Metrons is you can pour into a person. The Bible says if you give a prophet a glass of water, you get a prophet's reward. So you can intentionally pour into people and get that access and get more of them. But it's not necessary. The second way that you can access more of the Metrons from the fivefold ministry is honor. As you honor it. The third way that you can access more of those Metrons is laboring with them. So, the gifts of Christ are governmental Metrons. They are governmental measures that he gave the fivefold, I got to say this again, for the people. Now, that is important because you can't bypass us and get it from him. Y'all hear me? You can't bypass that. You can't bypass the prophet, the pastor, the evangelist, the teacher, and get the gift directly from God. He set his government up for a reason. To equip the saints. Come on. So if he set it up for you to be equipped, then that means if you don't go through this way, you can't be equipped. When you are not equipped, we are not seen in mountains. Come on, we just now getting back in the music mountain. We just now getting back into it. Darkness been ruling the music mountain. We barely touching the financial sector. Barely. We barely touching the education. Come on. I went in the library at high school. They got a whole L section. How's that? They took prayer out. So you took prayer out and you put this in there. Catch this, and we blame them. It's our fault. It's our fault. You whining, crying about them not having prayer in school while you ain't praying at home.
All right, I shouldn't have said that one right there. That one right there, I shouldn't have said that.
We don't need prayer at school if we're praying at home. We're fighting politically on their level. We protest and put prayer back in school when it should be put prayer back in home. Put prayer back in your, get a prayer closet. But all this is happening because people, the church refused to let the Metrons that the Father gave the government raise them. And they made a decision, I know the Lord for myself. I know God. How many have you heard that? I got a relationship with God. But he gave those gifts to equip the saints. to do the work of ministry. Ministry doesn't happen until light meets darkness. This is why I was telling them Thursday that we got to retool this whole thing. We're teaching evangelists to go out and bring sinners to the church. The church is not where you bring sinners. Okay. You're looking at me cross-eyed. We don't bring sinners to the church. You win them before they get here. This is an embassy for the children of God to be raised and nurtured. The government is not for sinners. This government is not for sinners. This government is for the family of God. So, which means that altar calls are not even scriptural. That's why you rarely see me do them. Because there ain't no way you're going to come up here and say, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and then you leave. No. To accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it means two things. One, you understand what salvation is. You understand that what he did on the cross brought you into the family. Now that you say that he's your Lord, that means that you must mimic his life. So that's not a one-time thing. If your heart is truly in what you said, we will see you Sunday. Come on, we'll see you Wednesday. We'll see you on a prayer call. We'll see you when it's time to train. We'll see you when it's time to develop, because that's what the fivefold ministry is for, education and development. Paul said, I labor with you until Christ is formed in you. Until the spirit realm don't know the difference between you and Jesus. Jesus I know, Paul I know. What you mean? The same? You gonna mention him in the same conversation? Absolutely. He said, but who are you? So he said the devil knew Paul. He knew Jesus. But he did not know them. And they said, we tell the demon to come out and what Paul preached. So the gifts of Christ are the governmental metron to equip the saints to build up the body. So the body of Christ would not be built up until the saints do it. The body of Christ is not supposed to be built up, watch this, by the government. Oh, whatever. It's not supposed to be built up by the government. This is why the apostles got to a place in Acts chapter 6. They had the Hellenistic widows. They got meals on wheels. They're helping the Jews. They're helping them out. And so they come to the apostles and they said, we need help with this. The apostles said, we can't stop what we're doing to do that. He said, y'all choose 7 people who are full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Let them tend to that. He said, but what we're going to do, and this is what the government has to do, is we're going to spend our time in prayer and the word. Because we got a government to run. We got a body to build. We got saints to equip. So we can't be out there doing stuff you can do. So you come in here and we give you our metron. We give you apostolic authority. We show you the agenda. We give you a prophetic culture where you can see, hear, and interpret. We teach you to build up your mind. You have a pastor that shepherds you. Then you have evangelists that teach you how to win souls and how to disciple. So it has to go in that order. If it does not, the body suffers. And then what they do is they look at the church. Why ain't nobody coming? Because we're not entertaining. We're not entertaining. This ain't your entertainment church. You better have your pencil, your pen, your book bag. This ain't your entertainment church. coming to the stage. Put your hands together. We got that. Get your pen out. Get your pad out. You about to learn. We on an assignment here. We on an assignment here. We don't care how well you sing. Come on. We don't care about your dance. All right, ain't nothing wrong with it, but it just got to be put in proper perspective, in proper order. Ain't nothing wrong with entertainment, all right? But hold on. Not on the day of church. Maybe after church we'll have entertainment. Folks coming to church now because they just want to be entertained. No Bible. Just walking there with their flag. So, the gifts of Christ are governmental. Metrons that he gave the fivefold for the people to equip the saints so the saints could build up the body and bring us to a mature stature which belongs to Christ. This is why we teach sonship. Because it is job of the fivefold to bring you to a mature place. If you're not maturing, we're not doing our job. If you're not growing, we're not doing our job. So this is for education and development. Because when those metrons are released, you increase. When those metrons are released, there's addition. When those metrons are released, there's multiplication. I was reading Luke chapter 8. And the scripture said that Jesus was with the 12, and he was with Mary Magdalene and Susanna. And it said that those women financed his ministry. He increased them. They saw it so valuable. The scripture said that they financed his ministry from their private funds. This is kingdom. This is kingdom. We was talking about on Thursday on how we talking about divine order, how the number 10 means divine order. And from the number 10, he gave the tithe. And the reason why he gave the tithe is to bring your finances in divine order so that your finances are not competing with the kingdom. Y'all better stop listening to folks on TikTok. You better stop listening to folks on TikTok, on Instagram, that don't have a metron. It ain't a metron the Father has given that gives sons and daughters permission to go on there and talk about pastors. That ain't a calling. That's not a calling. That's a demonic metron. I don't care how much you like them. I don't care how much you disagree with what they say. 9 times out of 10, you don't. Do you know? Okay, here we go. This is what I can't stand. Okay, don't start like that. Okay. I'm going to let it come out how it come out. All right. I can't stand the ignorance of people who watch the news. I can't stand it, okay? And repeat what the news said. I had a whole argument with somebody. Said, I watch the news all the time. I said, that's your problem. Okay? That's your problem is you watching the news. Okay? Say government. Now, in government, it's a thing called security clearance. It's a thing called security clearance. I was in the military. It's a thing called security clearances. A security clearance means that you have to be at a certain level to get information. We think that there are security clearances in the government, but then they give all the information on the news. Jesus even said, he said, to them I speak in parables, but to y'all I give you the mysteries of the kingdom. Paul said, I'm a bondservant of Christ, come to give you the mysteries. No, he didn't say that. He said the revelation of the mysteries. That's two different levels of security clearance that you can only get by being a part of the office. So 9-10 times out of 10, the people that you're listening to on TikTok, they don't have the security clearance. Because when you have that high level of security clearance, you don't speak in public. You don't speak in public. What Donald Trump knows, nobody else knows. What his chief of staff know? The mayor don't know that. What a private, they don't get access to generals. You got to go up the rank. This is government. You don't, some stuff you would never get access to if you don't sit down in them seats. You will never get access to it. And he designed it that way. Everything that the world do, they do it because they got it from the Bible. Security clearances come from the Bible. There's level of information. Jesus said, the scripture said that he never spoke to the people without using parables. So he would speak a parable, and then when he got with his boys that he was training to be apostles, he would break it down for them. What is he showing you? This is how the government works. Truly, truly, I tell you. This is what the kingdom looks like. So when he gave Peter the keys of the kingdom, that was to do what? Build the church. And he said after he built the church, the gates of hell would not prevail. And what are we looking at? We got homosexuals in the pulpit. We got the saints warring with the fivefold. What does this mean? This means that we have not used the keys of the kingdom in the manner which he gave it to us for. So the keys of the kingdom are to build the church. And when you are using the keys right, you get three things. One, you get authority. Two, you get access. Three, you get anointing. Anointing, access, and authority comes from how we use the kingdom keys. You have to get in your heart and in your mind that the thing that the Father has given me, every part of my life, he gave it to me to build the church, Zay. I don't care what you have, he gave it to you to build the church. Whatever gift, whatever talent, whatever ability, he gave it to you to build the church. Which brings me to the gifts of the Spirit. Now, the gifts of the Spirit are different from the gifts of Christ. Because the gifts of Christ are only given to the government, the fivefold. The gifts of the Spirit are given to every child of the kingdom. The gifts of the Spirit are from the baptism of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are to assist the government in the assignment of dominion. Is what we call the ministry of helps. The gifts of the Spirit empower the family of God for the kingdom of assignment in the seven mountains. and they enrich your life as light in a dark world. Now, both of these gifts are given to the church to bring unity to the family. All right? These gifts are given to bring unity to the family of God, the body of Christ, so that we can work together for the sake of the kingdom. All of our lives should be centered around building his kingdom come, his will be done. I'm going to say it again. All of our lives should be centered around his will being done in earth just like it is in heaven. We have to stop putting the kingdom second. We have to stop putting the church second. I don't have time to pray. Well, what you breathing for? Why you need breath if you're not praying? I was too busy. I can't come to church. You're missing your destiny. You can only get your destiny in God through the church. It is in the kingdom. You can't seek the kingdom without seeking the government. You can't seek the kingdom without first seeking the church. Why are we doing all of this? Because God wants to be a father. God wants a family, and he wants his kingdom in the earth. Where did we get off at? How did we get to the place that it was about my bank account? How did we get to the place that it was about the power I walk in? So you mean to tell you you're powerful, but everybody else weak? That's a problem. That's not kingdom. If it's on me, it should be on you. If it's in me, you should have it. Why? Because it belongs to you. First Corinthians 12:1. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be unaware. He says, for you know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols. So you were praying and stuff, didn't even talk. However, you were led. Verse 3, he says, therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit. Here we go. Verse 4, it says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of gifts, many gifts, but one Spirit. So it is not a Spirit that gives gifts and say, don't come to church. And then there's a Spirit that gives gifts and say, go to church. It's not a Spirit that gives a gift and say, you don't need a pastor. You don't need the prophet. You don't need the evangelist. The same Spirit saying the same thing to everybody. Paul said we should have one mind, we should have one heart, and we should all say the same thing. Which means if we're saying different things, we're off somewhere. And this is the difficulty with doing ministry. Why is it hard to build ministry? Because it's hard to get us on one accord. It's hard to get everybody to see that this matters more than anything else. It's hard to get us to focus on his will and not our will. Verse 5 says, and there are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. Many different ministries. You know what the most powerful ministry in the church is? I'm talking to you. Yep. Intercessory. That's the most powerful. They're more powerful than the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. Because we can't operate if somebody's not interceding. Thank you. So the most important ministry in the church is prayer. You don't need the mic. There's no time and space and distance in the spirit. Verse 6 says there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things for all persons. So he says there's many gifts, there's many ministries, and there's many effects. But he said it's all coming from the kingdom of God. It's all coming from heaven. This is the Apostle Paul talking. I told you, this is a political document. First, he was explaining to the people, this is why the government exists, to help you get to this place. Then now, he's teaching them, this is how it's supposed to look. He said, I'm letting you know you got a gift, but it's the same spirit. I'm letting you know you have a ministry, but it's the same Lord. So you have to conform just like everybody else. He said there's various effects, but it's the same God. So one person preach, one person raise somebody from the dead, same God. We ain't got to compete. You do you, I do me. Don't bring me to a place where I got to do what you do to show you that. Well, they ain't casting out devils over there. You ain't teaching them out. Jesus said, I made you clean by the words I spoke. He didn't cast no demons out of his disciples. Matter of fact, we don't see no part of the church history where they cast demons out the saints. You don't prophesy like we do. You don't apostolic like we. Whatever. Why we got to compete? This the body. It's enough ministry for everybody. You do you. Raise somebody from the dead. Go ahead. But they gave $1 million. Come on. You do you. You don't make everybody do what you do. Everybody is not going to teach on my level. You're not going to do it because you're not called to do it. I'm not doing this from an educated place. This is not an educated place. I didn't go to Bible school. Don't have a college degree. Come on. It don't have nothing to do with nothing. Degrees don't matter in the spirit realm. There's nothing you can do in the natural that can elevate you in the spirit. There's no degree. There's nothing you can do in the natural that elevates you in the spirit. You got to do a spiritual thing. He says, study to show yourself approved. Verse 7 says, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So y'all know I looked that up, right? Because I got to understand, what does it mean, the common good? Now, the common good means it is to bear or bring things together. So he says all of these gifts that we're giving to you is to bring us together. It means to bear together or at the same time. It means to carry with others, not by yourself. I'm anointed. Well, why we ain't? Come on, spill that oil. If you anointed, we all should be, shouldn't we? Come on, lay hands. Do something. Catch us up with you. It's for the common good. You did that? Well, show us how you did that so we can do that. Don't try to keep it from us so you can get the call. Well, we need you, bro. No. It means to collect or contribute in order to help. It means to help. It means to be profitable. It means to be expedient. So every metron is for the common good. Every gift is for the common good. Whatever you do, it belongs to us. Whoever you are, it belongs to us. Your prayer belongs to us. Come on. Your little doctorate degree, they belong to us. Come on. Whatever, it belongs to us. That fire belongs to us. You feel me? It belongs to us. It belongs to the body. Why are you keeping it for yourself? It ain't no good. It ain't no good if you hold on to it. It is worthless. Your gift is worthless until you give it to the body. Your gift is worthless until you give it to the body. Your gift is worthless until you get it to the body. Your gift is worthless until... Okay, let me stop. Your gift is worthless until you give it to the body. When you give it to the body, it becomes the law of pour. In the law of pouring, as you pour, he pours. Come on, I'll never run out of revelation. Why? Because I keep pouring it out. As long as I show up here and pour it into y'all, it'll keep coming. It'll keep coming. Now, it may feel stale because you ain't eating it. You're not partaking in it. So I got to keep saying the same thing over and over and over and over again. You think it's stale? It ain't stale. You ain't got it. You don't have it yet. It hadn't permeated your soul. So I got to keep saying that over and over and over and over again, over and over again, because I can't go to the next level until you go to the next level. Your prophetic goes to the next level when you pour the prophetic into other people. Come on. The apostolic goes to another level when you pour it into the doctrinal goes to another level. When you pour it into people, the gifts that he has given you, when you give them away, they're gifts. You don't pay for gifts. They sitting under the tree. Open them. Here we go. Verse 8. He says, for to one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. You mean ain't a Baptist Spirit and a Pentecostal Spirit? You sure ain't a Church of God Spirit? Why are we here differently? All right, verse 9. To another faith by the same Spirit. You mean it ain't two different spirits? Just give it. Okay. And to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. So all of our metrons come from one Spirit. That is our Father. Verse 10, and to another, the effecting of miracles. And to another, prophecy. And to another, the distinguishing of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, interpretations of tongues. So we in a service, and somebody does miracles, somebody's prophesying, somebody's discerning, somebody's speaking tongues, and somebody interpreting. And it's the same Spirit. It don't have to use you like. Because we kill the jealousy. You want to know how to prophesy like Lisa? Ask her. Come on. You want to kill a jealousy. My wife told me one day, she said, there's stuff I can do, but I can't explain it. And you can. I looked at her and said, I'm an apostle. That's what we do. But that's how it works. It's stuff she can do, but she don't know how she do it. It's a gift. But the apostle operates in revelation. So we see the inner workings of it. And we can tell you just what you did and how you did it. Because we're responsible to make sure the whole body of Christ can do it. What verse we at? 10? Yeah, okay. Now we're 11 now. I just did that. It says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things. It said, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills. So, it's some stuff, Natasha, you want to do that he don't want you to do that. He don't want you to work the altar like that. He don't want you to pray like Serena. Come on. He don't want you to exhort like Kirby. Because we have a whole stage full of people exhort. Everybody want to exhort? Who going to serve? Who going to sing? Everybody want to sing? You mean a whole church or choir? Right? These metrons are given for the body. Here we go. Verse 12. It says, for just as the body is one, say one, yet has many parts. And all the parts of the body, though they are many, are one body. So also is Christ. So if I do it, Marcus, I'm just one part of the body. If it's just about me, then if I'm the arm, we're missing a whole body. What am I connected to? Come on, if I'm just a leg, you mean I'm a leg with no body? Verse 13, it says, for by one spirit, we are all baptized into one body. Whether you are Jew or Greek, whether you are slave or free. Look at this. He says, and we have been all made to drink. He says, and we were all made to drink of one spirit. So there's a pouring out. He poured his spirit out on all flesh. Why do we have so many denominations? Why do we have so many people criticizing the church instead of building it? Because Jesus said, I'm going to build the church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. So the mindset of Christ, if we're all drinking from the same spirit, then the mindset of every son and daughter is what? Build the church. Come on. If we all drinking from the same spirit, when you get tired of the church, you know what that means? You stop drinking. You stop drinking from that spirit. You drinking from a different spirit now. And it quenches your thirst when you don't come around the saints.
Told you, that's why this is the reason why nobody like apostles. This is the reason why we don't want you in the church, because we bring things to life. We expose stuff that would stay hidden if we just had a pastor. Come on. If we just had a prophet, if we just had an evangelist, if we just had a teacher, there's things that would stay hidden because they don't have the apostle metron. So that's the job of the apostle, is to pour that metron into you so you can see the same way the apostle sees. Because the apostle is here to build the foundation. We'll talk about that later, okay? The apostle is here to build the foundation so the other parts can build on it. Until that foundation is built, prophet can't build nothing. Come on. A teacher can't build nothing. An evangelist can't build nothing. We going out telling people Jesus loves you, but what you going to bring them to now? After you told them Jesus loved them, you cast the devil out of them, now they need to come to a classroom. Where can you take them? They need a pastor now. I got tired of that. We evangelized the whole city. Didn't know I'm going to end up in church. We all over the city, feeding, clothing, singing, praying. And when we done with all that, they still in the same condition. They still in the same streets. They still doing the same thing, and we patting ourselves on the back. Like my uncle used to, the old timers, they always got them sayings. He said, you're going to break your arm patting yourself on the back. We pat ourselves on the back. Yes, you fed the homeless, but what happened to salvation?
happened to the fivefold ministry? What happened to them being developed? Yeah, we gave them some clothes. We gave them some money. But that ain't, we got to give them the thing that can get them everything that belongs to them. We don't have to heal nobody. You know that comes with salvation? You know deliverance comes with salvation? We just need to get them in the family. Enough of the word will cleanse them. The word is the most powerful thing. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. The word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we saw his glory. We saw his glory. So the best thing we can do is give people the word and a family. That's what everybody's hungry for. They want the word and they want a family. When they get in here, they'll be like, I need to see. Come on. I can tell you the number of people, as soon as she taught dreams, people just start dreaming. Just all of a sudden, people just dream. Come on. As soon as you teach people, all of a sudden, they just, I can hear the Father well. You have people I've talked to said they knew God until I taught them sonship. Just like, I thought I really knew God. Hold on. I didn't know I knew God like that. Actually, KP told, her husband told me that. He said, man, I done read everything, and I thought I knew God until I listened to that revelation of sonship. He said, this is it right here. He said, this is it. He said, this is what the church need right here. This is what they missing. You thought you knew God until you learned him as a father. You thought you understood the church until you got the message that the most important relationship in the church is siblingship. It's how we get along. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. And then in John 17 and 21, he said, Father, just as we are one, I want them to be one with us. So the world can believe you sent me. So the world don't believe that Jesus was sent because of the church not getting along. Because we don't know how to be siblings amongst one another. We got contention. We got conflict. Everybody want to be the pastor. Come on. Everybody want to be the prophet. Come on. Everybody want to be the teacher. I study too. But not, you don't have the metron to see. You studying blind. You studying getting scriptures that help you, not the body. Come on. Some of us studying for the body. Some of us studying for us. Can we settle that? That your study time is for you. Your study time is for you. Until he puts the oil on you and gives you the assignment. I tell you this a million times. The Father only speaks according to assignment. He didn't tell Moses to build a boat. He didn't tell Noah to get them children of Israel. Okay? He didn't tell Jonah to start the patriarch. You can only hear for your assignment. What is your assignment? That's your homework. What is your assignment? And understand that your assignment is extremely important. Okay? You being in a proper position is extremely important for the church. All right? I'm going to tell you why. Okay? If the Father called you to be an armor bearer to Zay, you are more powerful being his armor bearer. Then you are being an apostle. The power that will work in you will always be according to the assignment he sent you on. Then if he gives you an assignment and you don't respond to that assignment, now you get storms. So my job as the apostle is to make sure y'all are in the proper place. That's the job, is to make sure you are doing what you are supposed to doing and you're not trying to do what somebody else is supposed to do. So if you come to me one day and say, well, Apostle, I think we should do this. What's my favorite phrase for you? What's my favorite phrase for you? You're not the husband. You're not my, I'm not your wife. Don't tell me what to do. I think you should be doing this. Oh, it's a good thought. Nothing wrong with thinking. You got to put stuff in the proper place. Okay? Because you hear too many voices you won't hear for your assignment. You got to shut off everybody's voice and hear him. When I'm leading her, I'm not listening to her. If so, she would train me to lead her. So now only thing I can say to her is what makes her happy. So if I'm not saying what makes her happy, I'm off. So I have to enact the rule that says, you don't tell me what to do. He would tell me how to lead you. He would tell me how to lead the house. He's not going to tell me what to do. Same thing for the church. You're not going to tell me what to do. He's going to tell me what to do, and we're going to comply with what he told me. You don't like that? Find another church. And see if they let you do it. You're going to go from church to church to church, what? Trying to run a leader. Trying to walk in a metron that you're not in. And even as a leader, I have to know. Look, if you're a point guard, you can't be the center. Throw it on the block. You feel me? You can't pitch and hit. You got to find your position. You the coach or you the players? You can't do both. So this is what the apostolic is here for. Order. Order. Why? So we can be effective. So we can be effective. So when it's time to prophesy, if you ain't a prophet, sit down. When it's time to work the altar, if you have not been assigned there, don't do it. Stay in hospitality where you are. Guard the door. David said it's better to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Your position is important. Because if he puts you at the door, you got eyes to see what nobody else can see at that door. But it starts with the metron being poured out on you. And it behooves all of us. If you ain't the fivefold, if you're not part of the fivefold, I got to stop talking like that. If you ain't, I got to stop. I can do it. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Y'all going to make me forget what I'm saying. Y'all know I'm getting older. Okay. Hold on. Say. Okay, well, gosh, dog, now. Look, if you're not part of the fivefold, embrace the fact that you have it and allow it to feed you, okay? You don't know how to win souls? Go talk to the evangelist. You want to know how to win souls and disciple? Go talk to the evangelist. Come on. You can't see. You can't hear. You can't interpret. Talk to the prophets. We're going to have, matter of fact, we're in the school of the prophetic culture right now. Come on. You missing classes. You want to know how to pray? We got a prayer ambassador that teaches you how to pray. Come on. You need to get your finances. You need to get your life. We got a path to show you how to live your life. If you are part of the fivefold, submit to every one of the fivefold so you can learn a metron and you can have it. They can't give it all to you, but they can give you a portion of it. So, government and the kingdom is for common good. The fivefold and the family are one. Our metron in government is to increase your metron in faith, to empower the kingdom. So that we can work as one for the purpose of dominion. The church is the family of God. The fivefold is here to enrich the family through the gifts of Christ. And right here I have written, please let us. Please let us. Please let us give you this. I study all week long to give you something. If you come and get it, you don't have to study for it. All you have to do is watch this. study what the teacher gave you. Do you know you can't study until a teacher? You can't study until a teacher give it to you. Until someone teaches you, you can't study. If you open a book, that ain't studying. That's reading. It's only studying when a teacher has broke it down, and you can now take what they have broken down and you can study what they have broken down. If you go get it with your mind, then you only get what your metron gives you. I listen to prophets because I want to know how to see better. They got something that I don't have. They do stuff that I'm like, how did you see that? Let's pray. Come on. Let's pray. I don't know what that. Hallelujah. Come on, let's. Come on, get 2 minutes of tongues, and then we're going to praise.